Okay, so let's do a short overview of it. I want to focus not on the general topic. Maybe we'll do that in Agadata. But there is a major machloket to oversimplify between the Rambam and the Ramban whether karbanot are an ideal. And the Rambam famously holds in Bar Nevuchim, Chelek Gimel, Perek Mem Vav, that karbanot are not ideal. That all things being equal, we never would have had sacrifices. Sacrifices are, border on idolatry, essentially. So why do we have karbanot at all? So the Rambam holds that it's one of those things the Torah instituted to wean us off the theology of the ancient world. In the ancient world, the pagan religions all had sacrifices to their respective gods. And the Torah couldn't just come along and say, well, give up on the idea of pagan gods and take one god and give up on the idea of sacrifices, because this was the normal way that people sacrificed. And to move people that far, people just weren't ready for it. Right? This is one of the very important shittot of the Rambam, not just about karbanot, but his general approach, which is that it's possible for there to be mitzvot that are themselves not ideal, but that are part of weaning people off of problematic theologies, but there's a recognition that the Torah wants to move away from it. Right? This becomes the basis of many of let's say, Rabbi Rabinovich's article, Darka Shel Torah. Right, he argues that you can say the same thing about, let's say, slavery or polygamy, right? Where, yes, the Torah has polygamy, but every time the Torah tells you a story about someone with more than one wife, it's always a disaster, right? Rachel and Leah are fighting. Their children are fighting. They sell Yosef. Chana and Penina, doesn't work so well, right? Penina torments Chana, things like that. And once you say that that it's possible for there to be laws which are weaning you off, so weaning you off of problematic theology slowly, so then you consider the Torah itself are pointing you in a direction, but some of the things within the Torah allows are not necessarily endorsed, and it would actually be a better world if we would forbid it, right? Okay. The Ramban pushes back very heavily on this, and he says that is crazy. Right, that's crazy. He says, first of all, how could you say, if I want to oversimplify, that all of Sefer Vayikra is bidyavad? He said, besides, already in Breishit, you hear about karbanot way before you can talk about pagans. Meaning, think about the first murder. Right, the first murder happens because Cain comes up with this idea to bring karbanot. Hevel copies him. Hevel brings, a better karban. God accepts his karban and not Cain's karban. God doesn't come out and say to him, by the way, this whole thing is idolatrous. Right? He says, what's the problem? If only you had commitment. Right? If you want, I'm just waiting to accept you. Now then, obviously, Cain, instead of, bringing a better karban and showing more commitment, God murders his brother, which is, bad to state the obvious. But he says all the way back there, Noach, also, Noach, after the world is destroyed, and he emerges from the Teva, brings Karman out. So how can you tell me that this is Bidiavad? He had to be weaned off of paganism? What are you talking about? There are a handful of people left on planet Earth, and they are the good guys. They need to be weaned off of paganism? He says Karman out are fundamental. So, again, that deserves a lot more analysis. But what I wanted to talk about was the Ramban that we did deal with when we talked about the Karban Ola. So the Ramban says, okay, so then what is the purpose of Karbanot? The purpose of Karbanot, he thinks, among other things, is that in cases when the person deserves to die, or just because he sinned, he deserves to, right, because it's so egregious to go against God, God allows you to, not die, but bring a karban that will be there instead of you. And in a certain sense, replace you, but also psychologically remind you that you should have been the one there and bring you to contrition. So he writes, V'yoter ra'oi l'shmo atam shomrim b'hem, ki b'avur sh'maseh ben adam nigmarim b'machshava u'b'dibur b'maaseh. That because the actions of people are completed with thought, speech, and action. Siva Hashem kisher kasher yechta yavi karban. So God said that when you sin, you bring a sacrifice. Yismochia davalav kenegan amaseh. You put your hands on it and lean on it to highlight actions. V'itvavde b'fiv kenegan adibur. And you confess your sins, which is through speech. V'yisrof ba'esh. And you burn the innards, the kidneys, which were viewed in that time as the way we view the heart, not really, not scientifically, but the way we talk about the heart, right? That is like the seat of the emotions, right? And the feet and the hands and feet of the animals parallel to the tools we use to do everything. And the blood on the Mizbeach, parallel to your soul, your life force. So when you're sacrificing, you will think that it should have been you. And that it should be your blood being poured. Your body being burned. If it weren't for the kindness of God that he took a tmura, a trade, the kipera karbana zeshe damo tachat damo, and God ransoms your soul and atone for your soul, blood for blood, nefesh tachat nefesh, life force for life force, the rashei varea karban keneged rashei verav, the limbs of the karban parallel to your own. Right, and to teach you to dive into God, etc.
Is it not weird that that he's essentially taking the view of penal substitution? Which I mean, at some level,
that is what he's saying. Meaning he's, now, part of it is psychological, obviously, right? Meaning if you focus on it, he says that it's Sheyach Shov Ha'adam Basota, right? Is that he wants you to think that it should be me dying. Now, you can take it in the sense that he wants, you know, that it's a substitution, or you could take it in the sense that it's supposed to psychologically to get you to realize that in a very visceral sense, right? You should be dying, right? You did something terrible, and God is letting you not die. But don't think that sin is something light, right? I think there is a metaphysical component here, and there's also a psychological component here. What? No. Remember, we talked about Ola. Good. So you'll tell me it's only the Chatat. So first of all, remember, there are other Karbanot that might have some connection to sin. And obviously, what? Okay, fine. Right now, obviously, you might have to say that not every Karban is like this. And the Ramban has other reasons for Karban. But if you remember, we focused on this line. And again, I wanted to focus on things that we did, but to expand them. We focused on this line to explain, right, based on Rav Udi Schwartz, why you would have a Shita in the Mishnah that an Ola also needs to be Lashma. Right, because he said, if according to the Ramban, the ideal karban is, right, the paradigm of karbanot is what? Is that you view your, right, it replaces you view yourself on there. So the ola is that in its extreme. And that I literally burn myself on the karban. I burn this whole animal. And therefore you might say, and this goes back to what we said, is he making a metaphysical point or a psychological point? At some level, it could be that by the Ola, specifically when you're really doing that, in order for it to get its purpose, what do you need? Lishma. Right? You need to really think. Right? That would obviously highlight a much more psychological read of the Ramban than a metaphysical read of the Ramban. Right? That I need to really imagine myself there for the contrition to come. Okay? So this is a little bit of a development of that idea that we talked about, but I want to add just one more component to it, which is the following. By the Karban Ola, the Pasuk describes it as follows. Let me just open it up. There we go. This is the second Pasuk. Right, this is the second Pasuk of Vayikra. Daber al bnei Yisrael v'amar lahem, Adam ki akriv mikem karban l'Adonai min habehema min habakar min hatzon takriv et karban chem. A man who, among you, brings a karban, etc., etc. Im ola karbano, the first one is, if it's an ola. dot, dot, dot. Okay? And then you get all the laws of the Ola. And then you get in Pasuk Yud, and what if your Ola is a tzon, right? Is a sheep. And then in Pasuk Yudalad, you get V'imina Of Ola Karbano. That's all of Perek Aleph. Now, if you had to guess, what would the next carbon be after Ola? Assuming that this is all right, that Ola is like the paradigm, right? Maybe Chatat. It's not. What's Perek Bet? Mincha. V'nefesh ki takriv mincha. So, Rayoni Grossman, in his excellent book, Torah Karbanot, says, wait a second. Why? He has two questions. First of all, which is, why is Ola followed by mincha of all things? Which implies a connection between them. And the second is, why does the perek about Ola, is it all framed by Adam ki yakriv? And mincha, it's nefesh ki takriv. So what he suggests is the following, is following the Ramban's idea that the ideal karban is one which is total, right? That is total, that you are giving yourself to God symbolically. So there's two ways that you could do that. One is the Ola. You offer, the way you would read it sort of metaphorically is Adam ki akriv, not just a man who offers, but yeah, and Adam ki yakriv, a man who offers ki'ilu, ki'ilu is the key word there, as if he's offering himself. And then you move into mincha. But you would say, mincha, doesn't that seem like the total opposite, right? The Ramban just said the whole chop of the Ola and everything is, well, there's blood and there's, you know, there's limbs and you can imagine that it's your body. And then you move in immediately into mincha. You would have thought that's like as far as possible from it because, you know, no one looks at a loaf of bread and says, me, that's me, right? But Yoni Grossman says that's not fully true. Because there's two ways that you could declare to God that you are giving yourself to God. That everything you are and everything you should be, you're giving to God. One is by offering a karban, which parallels you. Right. On the other hand, the other is, so what he suggests is is to give your sustenance, right? The mincha is the most basic, bread is the most basic, right? Symbolically, especially in Tanakh, is the most basic sustenance of man. So he says, maybe what the mincha is the same thing, except what you're saying is not, I'm giving myself, but I'm giving, so he says, it doesn't say Adam. I'm not giving myself. What am I giving? Nefesh, my life force. Right now, how could you say I'm giving, what's another way of doing it? I give you that which I used to live. Exactly, that which I used to live. Right, so now, they very helpfully, he made like a mini series where he summarizes some of the ideas in this excellent 500-page book. Right, but he summarized, I'll just read his summary paragraph, which is, Bikarbana behema by animals, hamakriv matzir she'etzem kiyumo, he declares that his very existence, etzem chayav, his life, shayachim lakono, belong to God. Valkenu malech chayim al gamim mizbech, so he brings life on the mizbech. Kivyochol ha'adam makriv et nafsho, it's if the man offers himself. Bamincha ha'adam eino malech al gamim mizbech et chayav. By mincha, he doesn't offer his life, ela ha'nefesh, the life force. Makrivay et hamazon, he offers food. Vetshar tzorchei chayav. Hadam mevi lemishkan et mizono. He brings his food. Umosif alav shemen olvani, adds oil and frankincense. Shem siman lashirut, which are symbols of wealth. Ulusviat ratzon and satiation. Kivyachol hu matzir. It's if he's declaring shakol eila enim shayachim lo. It's if to say none of this is mine. Vuhu ena roilem. I don't deserve them. Valkenu mevim lebaaleim amitin. I'm bringing it to the true owner, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, which is God. Right, so following the Ramban's things, he says at some level, the mincha and the ola are parallel, and therefore they deserve to be together because there's two ways of expressing the total commitment. Either Adam, as if I bring myself, or nefesh, that I could offer my wealth, I could offer the symbol of my sustenance, declaring not that I belong to God, but everything I have belongs to God. And therefore it is parallel to the Ola, a symbolic expression of my total dependence on God, but here focusing on that which allows me to live rather than my life force directly, which I thought was a very interesting way of taking it. So we'll leave it there.